computer running slow? Has your machine somehow acquired a life of its own?
It's alive!
Or do you simply desire a deeper and more meaningful connection? Be one with your operating system. It's Arizona's computer guru, Mike Swanson, and his show starts now. Listen in, chat in, and watch live streaming at gurushow.com. Want your voice to be heard instead? Call in with your questions and riddles. The number is 520-790-2040. This is the Computer Guru Show on AM 1030, KVOY, The Voice.
Hello and welcome to the Computer Guru Show. My name is Mike, here to deal with your technology needs and treat you like a person in the process. It's a one-of-a-kind show where we're here to help you. It's a focus on making sure that your technology needs are solved. You can give us a call if you'd like to be part of the show or have your the abrupt music change. Just, you know. What are you doing, Tom? You gotta settle down over there. It's 2 weeks in a row now. See, last week.
I didn't mean to be abrupt. I thought I was fading it, but maybe my fader needs to be cleaned.
Yeah, I think your fader's dirty, man. 790-2040. That's 520-790-2040 if you'd like to be part of the show. The focus of the show is mainly to solve your problems, the end user, the person listening. All right. This is free tech support that you just, you know, you don't get an opportunity to get very often. Well, there are other radio programs about computers in the world, but they really don't have anything to do with you other than they want you to spend some money.
Right.
Like in Phoenix. But I'm not going to say her name. Anyway, give us a call, 520-790-2040. We'll see what we can do to help you out with whatever technology issues are ailing you. Now, we are freshly back from E3. Three solid days of E3.
Or four,
right. I managed to see Tara for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
In 4 days. We were running all over the convention center and, along with the Nerd Junkies guys
and Senshudo TV.
And Senshudo, and ran into some very cool people that are in the gaming and, entertainment industries. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite thing about E3? Like, name the product or game that you thought was just, that's the one that raised your eyebrows.
Evolve. Hands down.
Evolve is an interesting game, and a nice concept. It's a four-on-one game.
Yes.
Where you have a group of four that have to team up to beat the one guy that's playing the monster.
Mm-hmm.
And there's interesting dynamics in the game. Some mechanics that are pretty interesting is that the longer that the beast, the monster, is around, it evolves into a more and more powerful creature. So you have to basically, in the beginning, whoever's playing the monster, their job is to hide from the people trying to, mm-hmm. to kill it. And it has to evolve to strong enough to take on the four people.
Yeah.
And it's a cool, I mean, it was a very good looking game.
It's a very fun game to play.
Now you get to play. I didn't get to play.
Yeah.
I just got to watch it. But, what'd you think?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I was the trapper. The trapper's job is to trap the monster.
Right, you put up barriers and such.
Yeah. You put traps down to hold him down. You put a dome up so that he can't escape the area. And then you also have this alien dog thing named Daisy. And Daisy will take the shortest route to the monster so you can track him down.
All right.
So I was the trapper, so I got to track the monster. It was really awesome. Unfortunately, we had our assault person was not really on par. He kept kind of going off on his own and
assaulting.
Yeah, no, not so much. And so we lost because of that. But it was still a really fun game to play. I mean, the teamwork that is needed for this game, and I think that's the biggest thing for this game. And I've noticed a lot of other games is teamwork. They're really pushing that teamwork really hard.
Right. Now I'm okay. Perfectly okay with the whole teamwork aspect of these games, and mm-hmm. but there were several of them, like the Rainbow Six assault game, mm-hmm. Which on the last day of E3 they did the live play demo.
Yes,
and it's great, I guess. Mm-hmm. But on all of these games where they're promoting the teamwork, like The Crew and mm-hmm.
Assassin's Creed Unity.
Right, a few of these other games that are out there. I mean, Eidos apparently, and Ubisoft as a whole, is really about let's do multiplayer everything.
A lot of the games were multiplayer this year.
And I'm okay with multiplayer, but mm-hmm. the thing that really bothers me about the multiplayer games is that you end up in their sort of multiplayer queue system, and most of them are terrible, right?
Yeah.
And then you think if you're going to go spend $60 on a game,
right,
a year from now, you're not going to be able to complete anything in the game, mm-hmm, because you won't be able to find any players.
You know what? That's actually something I appreciated about Sunset Overdrive. Did you get to see
game? I did not see it.
The way I've been describing it to people is kind of an Adam West Batman combined with Jet Set Radio Future, which is a game where you skate around and graffiti things, combined with Left 4 Dead. It's an amalgamation of those three things, because you'll go around skating on lines and jumping off walls and jumping off buildings, and
right,
you're shooting mutants, and it's human beings that have been turned into mutants by an energy drink. So, Mike, watch out.
Because it's electrolytes, it's what plants need.
So there's this energy drink that's out, and it's turning people into mutants, and you have to go and fight. So you're jumping around, you're skating on things, you're doing like these parkour-type moves, and you're also shooting these mutants, which is like a Left 4 Dead feel. So those are the two games. But then when you're shooting them, or you throw a giant bomb or something like that, in the mushroom cloud, it'll say boom, or you freeze them, and it's all ksh, and like Adam West Batman, and it's amazingly fun. It's not as like dark and dreary as like a Left 4 Dead or Dead Rising or one of those where it's a more serious game. This is a lot of humor, but it's the same thing where you're shooting mutants.
So what about the multiplayer on that one?
You can either play alone in that, which is nice, or you can play with up to 8 people. So, you know, you can actually do a little bit of both, which a lot of the games, it seemed like it was either multiplayer or solo, mostly multiplayer. So I appreciated that about Sunset Overdrive, where you get to either play solo or with people if you choose to.
All right. Right. Now, the game that had the most number of players involved, mm-hmm, that I saw at E3 was Just Dance Now.
Yes.
Right, where they, now if you're not familiar with the Just Dance franchise, mm-hmm, they release one every year with new songs and new dances in, mm-hmm, it. And historically, it's been sort of a Wii game.
Yeah.
Right, because you use the remote from the Nintendo Wii, and it kind of figures out where you're at. Now, Xbox has a version of it,
mm-hmm,
that uses the camera.
Right.
The Kinect camera to kind of watch you dance to make sure you're doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this year with the Just Dance Now, they've decided to make it so that it's just an app on your phone,
mm-hmm,
so that you can use the accelerometer. It's built into your cell phone if you have a smartphone.
Yeah.
That will allow you to play the game. Mm-hmm. And they're saying an unlimited number of players in game.
Yeah.
And the demo that we saw on Sunday, they had about 400 people.
Oh, yeah.
All playing in this very
at the same time
packed area.
Yeah.
I was worried about getting hit in the face with a cell phone. But it was really interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a bunch of new songs that and new dances that looked pretty cool. They were demoing those the entire time. So like every 45 minutes they were out there doing these demos. The Just Dance Now thing, I mean, I've never considered buying a console, really, mm-hmm, other than maybe to play Watch Dogs when they said they weren't going to release it for PC.
Yeah.
That's very cool looking.
Yeah.
And what I like about the Wii games, mm-hmm, is that they tend to have a common theme, which is you need to get up and move.
Yeah.
Right? They don't want you sitting on your butt.
Yes.
And you know, stuffing down the Cheetos and drinking
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew. Right? They want you to get up and move and, mm-hmm, do something. And, I mean, in these dances that these people are doing,
they're hard.
It's a workout.
They're really hard.
I actually have a video of the Just Dance Now stuff that we're going to post on YouTube. And, of course, we'll put all the links up to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to get that posted today or tomorrow.
Okay.
But it's very cool looking. I like the whole get up and move elements of those games. And there seems to be a lot of that. I mean, like, when we went to CES,
mm-hmm,
there was all these concepts, concept games. They're saying, let's use the Kinect camera. Let's use the Wii remotes, mm-hmm, or use your cell phone as a way to track your movement. And then get people up to do stuff.
Right.
Now, Xbox Xbox is really taking this to a whole new level. They've got that sports game that they've just released, and it's all about standing in front of the camera and actually doing the movements to make things happen. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea that, you know, we're not the Xbox and Wii and Nintendo are really trying to avoid severe amounts of obesity in the future.
Yeah. So, well, and then aside from the games, I don't know if you made it to the peripheral corner.
I did.
Some of the things that these people are coming out with are amazing. The augmented reality, where you're using the camera on your phone to play the game, and so you're seeing, you know, the floor, the table that's right in front of you, but there's also a dragon that you're trying to shoot.
Right.
Or they had some insole stuff to track your movement in your shoes. I think that was called Boingo or something.
Right.
And, it goes in your shoe, and then it tracks, like, where you're leaning and stuff, and you could use that for games or, you know, athletic-type stuff to see, you know, how many steps you've made in a day or whatnot.
Well, there was plenty of stuff to see at E3, and we're going to be putting articles and videos up about the things that we saw over the course of the next couple of weeks.
And I'm also going to be putting up some reviews of some actual peripherals that were given to me as well, and those will be on the Arizona Computer Guru site.
Excellent. In the meantime, Tom, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we've got some interesting news to talk about, maybe a little more E3 coverage, but more importantly, your phone calls at 790-2040. That's 520-790-2040. We'll be right back.
Your computer guru, Mike Swanson, is here to help you tame that beast of a machine. Join the chat right now at guruShow.com or call in. This is the Computer Guru Show on KVOY, The Voice. You're listening to the Computer Guru Show on AM 1030, KVOY, The Voice.
Give us a call down here at the studio, 520-790-2040. This is the Computer Guru Show, here to help you with all of your technology needs while treating you like a person in the process, because that's what we do. You can join the chat room at guruShow.com. You can type in your 2 cents that we will most likely see and try to address on air. But if you want to be able to... Tom's all gun-shy now about fading out. You just threw me off, Tom. That's all. It's no big deal. Just
you are the man. You're the computer guru. I will do your bidding. You can direct me.
All right. Well, in that case.
Yeah.
All right. 790-2040 if you want to be part of the show. Anybody who know who Elon Musk is?
Yes.
Do you know who that is, Tom? Do you even know?
Isn't that a man's deodorant?
It does sound like a man's deodorant.
I don't know.
But he's a really, really rich dude. And
I don't know any rich people.
Yeah, I know.
If you start, most importantly, as it connects to the story I'm going to talk about right now, think Tesla Motors. All right, so the guy who owns
Elon Musk.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that's what it smells like. And their new car smell is Elon Musk. But Tesla is doing some really cool stuff. And not just the cars, which are cool enough in themselves. And I've decided that if I can afford it in the next 3 years, I'm going to have to buy a
you
Tesla.
Know who likes the Tesla four-door sedan?
The Model S, right?
Consumer Reports.
Yes, they do.
They have rated that as the top sedan over the V6s and the V8s of Mercedes and Nissan and Toyota.
Well, they're very, very good cars. They're just very, very expensive cars.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Apparently they're well-designed. They use quality materials, and they're well-made.
Yes, they are. And they are, like, it's the future of cars is really what it comes down to. And, you know, they decided over at Tesla that the future of cars is, not just about them selling cars. The future of cars to them is zero-emission vehicles.
Right.
Where they want no gasoline used in cars ever again. And they decided that that future is not happening fast enough for them, even though that they're anticipating to have 2 billion cars on the road.
Wow.
Pretty soon. I mean, they're saying we cannot keep up with the number of orders we have.
Right.
There's no way that we can build them fast enough.
And that's not 2 billion Teslas. They're talking about 2 billion cars?
They want 2 billion Tesla. They're anticipating 2 billion Teslas on the road.
That's pretty ambitious.
What period of time?
Pretty soon, like within the next 10 years.
Wow.
So they're
building. Then they're going to have to build an assembly plant here in Tucson.
That's exactly why we're talking about this story. Now, they're saying that, you know, they want, in order enough to do enough to offset the carbon output and everything involved with global warming and, and, you know, change in general as it pertains to killing ourselves on the planet. They'd say, well, you know what? We were worried at first that the big manufacturers would steal our technology and then using the muscle that they have would basically put us out of business. And now they've done this about face and they said, we realize that first of all, they can't put us out of business. And secondly, they, you know, the patents that are involved with this, nobody wants to go up and fight against them because Tesla has some awesome patents.
Right.
So Tesla decided that they are now open source. They have taken all of their patents and said anybody who wants to use these in good faith to build electric vehicles can use our technology, even the big guys. They're just saying build electric cars.
Is this mainly for their battery technology or for the all batteries of their patents, and the electric motors and everything?
Every patent that Tesla has is now open source.
So, well, aren't they kind of giving it away to General Motors and Ford if they want?
Yep, because they don't care. They're just saying, we want to see more electric cars on the road, and we are open to competition. Whoever builds the best car wins. And that's really cool to see in a manufacturer, right, in an auto manufacturer.
That way it doesn't have to get stolen by a company that comes up called Edison Motors or something like that.
Right. Well, they sort of mentioned that. They said that anybody who really wants to use this technology is going to find a creative way to get around the patent anyway. So rather than let's not turn this into a war like with the Apple-Samsung thing where it was a patent war, let's just say you go ahead and the patents are available. Just use the technology, right? Just build something that will help the world. And that is a cool idea, in my opinion. Now, I was talking with Rob the other day in the shop saying, you know, if I had my input as to how the whole patent thing should be working is that there should be – they should institute a second system within the patent system, right, where you get to choose, all right? You can patent for money,
right,
saying that if anybody uses this, that you get to sue them for cold, hard cash. In return for that, there is a huge tax penalty that says that if you do sue somebody for this, that the patent office of the government is going to take a whole bunch of the whatever you make off of it.
Right.
A lot of it. I'm talking like, you know, less than half still, but a lot.
Yeah.
All right. And then you have the option to then say, well, or additionally to say, well, I'm going to take this patent. I'm going to put it up for notoriety, for science. Right, we're to say get to say that I invented it.
Science.
Right, I invented it. I developed this particular process or device or product or whatever, and I get a point for it, a point system. And if anybody else uses it,
it gives me points.
It gives that person points, and those points can then be turned into either tax credits or some other type of something worth something.
Right.
So, but that way it ends the whole war thing. It just says, yes, you develop that. Now everybody gets to use it.
Right.
And the reason that's important is because there is a certain amount of, once something is out there in the world, right, it becomes a commodity at a certain point where it's just, it becomes part of life. It becomes part of every day. At what point does that technology or that patent belong to the people? Rather than to the inventor.
Right.
So, as an example, the one that Rob used, the example that Rob used of Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, I have to pay a premium for my phone because it has the word droid in it.
Yeah.
Right? Because Lucas patented the word or droid, copyrighted the word droid forever ago. Right? So, first of all, you got to put some reasonable time limits on this stuff.
Yeah.
Right? It's become part of the regular vernacular. Right, or that he invented droid, you know, short for Android, which I think he invented also, or somebody else did, but he was the first one to copyright it or patent it, or trademark that. There needs to be some sort of reasonable limits, And if you take the system out and just say, well, you can't make money off of this anymore, right? Mm-hmm. You'll get the credit, the photo credit, somewhere there'll be a little asterisk that says George Lucas, while drunk one day in Mexico, came up with the word droid.
Drinking tequila shots.
All right. So there needs to be some limits on that and find a way to advance technology, because literally the copyright, patenting, and trademarking I can live with, but the patenting and copywriting is stifling technology.
Yeah.
Right? Because everybody's afraid to build something because somebody's going to sue them because somebody else already owns that idea. There are no new ideas in the world.
I know.
All right, let's talk to Charles. Hey, Charles, how are you?
Good, Mike. Your system, first of all, I admire your acknowledgement of Tesla. I think they did a very courageous thing. But your idea sort of strikes at the root of capitalism. The main idea of capitalism is that you're supposed to be able to enjoy the fruits of your own labor. And if you allow government an avenue to tax that labor, just because you have the idea, what you will do is kill incentive. It'll have the perverse effect of doing the opposite of what it is you seek to accomplish.
It's already doing that, though, right? Well, the copyright and patent system as itself is already stifling innovation, is already stifling other people who are trying to build products themselves.
And I agree with you on that. But there's a way to handle it without the thieving hand of government being introduced into it, and that's shorten the patent period so that it doesn't stifle innovation. Let me give you a really good example of that, and that is the 1911 Colt. That patent has long expired. You know, the Colt 45 semi-automatic?
Right.
Everybody kind of knows, even if they don't like guns, what it is. A GI 45. It's called a 1911. The patents are long expired on that, and today, even though it's 105-year-old technology, maybe even a little older than that, it is the most copied firearm in the world today.
Right.
Because the patents ran out. So if you run the patents shorter, but don't tax anybody on the product of their mind, you will have a much better system, and you won't have creeping socialism and incentive killing government regulation.
Well, and I'm sure there's several ways that you can go about doing it. I mean, it's just an idea, though, that there's something.
And I did mention that I think that the terms of these things are unreasonable. I think that they're way too long. And, they should be shortened as a whole.
I think a patent now is 56 years. And also can be renewed once. But if you made it a much shorter term and then it became, in essence, public domain, I agree with you. I'm in favor of public domain, but only if it's voluntary. I'll give you an example. I don't copyright my radio programs.
Right.
I put them on the internet, and I say, these are public domain, take them. Just don't change my words. I think I'm in favor of the effusion of knowledge. I'm in favor of taking your creative energy and giving it away for free, because what goes around, because of the law of sowing and reaping.
Right, because that's how people learn, and that's how society as a whole benefits from one person's knowledge, or even collective knowledge. So it's important that that corporations and people like you and I, Charles, that we put our information out there, and it's available for everybody to learn from and to utilize themselves. Right, the mannerisms or the format of this show or any of that stuff or yours even, at least for my case, I don't mind somebody copying the show. I don't mind people taking this idea and using it.
But the thing is, how do you promote that? And what I'm telling you is it needs to be promoted through incentive, not through coercion. Because anytime you give government coercive power, you always diminish freedom.
I'm with you on that, and I will agree with that. What I was trying to illustrate was not necessarily the coercive power of government, but a disincentive for corporations to own knowledge, right? And I think that they shouldn't own that knowledge for a certain amount of time. Sure, you go ahead and you build your process, you developed it, you build what you need to build with it, but at a certain point, when it becomes popular enough, right, where it becomes, if you are truly interested in the product that you've created, because hopefully whatever product you've created, you've brought into the world to make a positive change to that world. And like Tesla's doing, right, in their particular case where they're saying, we want to see a positive change affected on the world with our technology, and we don't care to sue people over it. We're saying that we've We've developed these patents. We've developed the technology. And now that we're stable in ourselves, it's free to use for everyone. Now, if that, whether that be just because the patent terms are shorter or because government or corporations are somehow incentivized to free that knowledge, it doesn't matter to me. What I want to see is a positive change in the world.
But it does matter. People don't do things to make a positive difference in the world. People do things for a profit. It's a side benefit of the profit that it makes a positive change in the world. And the problem is that what you call incentivized, with incentivized in quotes, to government, incentive equals coercion. And so while your idea is noble, the government's execution of it will usually be ignoble.
I can agree with that, and that's why I'm saying that if you change it to a point system rather than, you know, having it be in a monetary based system. I mean, I personally think that there shouldn't be any money involved in it anyway, right? Where you can say, yeah, I built that, and you can do like a lot of companies have done, where they've built bridges between them and said, listen, we're going to let you use our technology, and we just would like a cut out of it if that's cool. And they come to an agreement that doesn't have to involve courts or government.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, use our technology, but don't make our exact product. Just, you know, change it.
Or license it. Mm-hmm. Or license it. I agree with you. Licensing makes a lot more sense. But what I'm telling you is that if you say people make things not for profit, you just completely set capitalism on its ear and yank the rug out from under the creative energy from all but a very few nerds who will make things.
There's a certain amount of what's the best way to put this? There's a certain amount of, you know, the people that are out in the world right now that are incentivized themselves, not necessarily in quotes, only by profit, but not to do good in this world. Like my company was created to do good in the world, mm-hmm. right? I'd like to keep the lights on, sure, right? But sure, I could be like Geek Squad. I could be like a number of people who I won't name,
right?
And say, well, I'm just going to screw the customers left and right, right? Just because I can, and nobody can stop me, mm-hmm. right? But I don't.
The market
isn't stopping the people that are screwing people now, right? So that's not a good enough incentive.
But they're giving them an equal and opposite benefit, even if they're screwing them, and it's enough. That benefit is enough that people, even if they know they're getting screwed, will take the benefit.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, if that were the case, then there are some big box stores that would not be in existence at all today.
I have two syllables for you. Android.
What about them?
The Android. I mean, people are getting to some extent screwed by a system, but they think the benefit is greater, and so they buy it.
You lost me on that one. Explain to me what you're saying.
The Android system forces you to do certain things.
Are we talking about the phones?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have time to go into it, but it forces you to do things in certain ways. It forces you, in many cases, to do business with Google. There's just a lot of things it forces you that you have to find workarounds to try not to have happen with that system, which is why I'm calling you from a Palm phone, okay? Even though I have an Android, I try not to use it unless it's something it does that the Palm won't do.
Okay.
And that's a great example of it, okay? I have one. I bought the technology. I have it. I just don't like it. But I realize there's important things it does for me. So even though it screws me in some ways, forces me to do the things I don't want to do, I have one.
So I guess my question is, to follow up on your point from earlier, is the market stomping Android? All right?
The market is not stomping Android, except to the extent that I'm calling you on a Palm phone.
Right, and I get that. What I'm saying, though, is that yes, capitalism is alive and well in America and should be preserved to make sure that people can make money, right? Yeah. To make sure that people can regulate themselves. And yes, society needs to regulate itself in a big way. The problem with some of this, right, is and where we tend to bump heads, Charles, is not where capitalism, what the role of capitalism is in the United States. I think that we differ on what the role of government is, which is it's supposed to be, at least as I read the Constitution and as I read it in, you know, when I took my courses in college, it basically said that there is a protection element that needs to be there. And as we did with net neutrality, you know, it was not about providing equal outcome. It's about providing equal opportunity. And so this is where I think that, you know, where changes in the patent system are concerned or changes in net neutrality. These are where we really need to find that edge, that razor's edge of what are we really trying to define here?
And I think you have a good concept, but I think it's a little out of focus.
It may be, right? You know, I haven't been around all that long.
Well, and it's just an idea, too, that
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying, it's just an idea he popped up with, too. I mean, he's not sending a bill out to Congress to get signed or anything.
But
it's just a thought, you know.
It's true, and I put it on the radio, and it's my fault for doing it. But, we tend to talk about these things. But, you know what, Charles, when I get to be your age, I'll probably be wise, too.
I don't know that I'm wise. I know that I've acquired some knowledge. But I would encourage you on the next break, look up in Arizona's Constitution, Article 2, Section 2. It is the purpose of government, and I think it may give some clarity to your idea about what the Constitution is supposed to do. Article 2, Section 2 of Arizona's Constitution.
Thanks for the call, Charles. I appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Thanks. Let's talk to Mark real quick, and then we'll take a break. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was just wondering now, is the DOS 3.3 in public domain yet? That's right. Yeah.
No.
Anyway, hey, I've had a rash, and I mean a rash within the last...
I know a doctor.
I know, the rash, yeah, a couple of weeks here of these phony Microsoft boiler room calls.
Yep.
Oh,
you had any? Did you ever get to do a follow them along?
They don't call me.
They won't call you.
No, I mean, I want them to call me. Just desperately, I want them to call me, but they never do.
Yeah. So I don't know, whatever I'm doing, I'm getting them on all kinds of different lines, you know, different phones and everything.
Do you get them on your cell phone?
I think I've had them on my cell phone, yeah.
I'm thinking that we need to find a way that makes it easy for people to transfer those calls to me.
Right, that's what I was trying to think of. You and I were zeroed in together on that one.
Well, at least I get along with somebody on here.
Yeah, right. No, I was thinking of if I had a way where I could say, just a minute here while I go to the computer.
Right.
And then do it. But I should build my own, you know, Virgin install computer and just see where they go. But
now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put on the website this weekend. I'm going to put on the website a Windows 7 virtual box that people can log into when they get these calls, and it'll record what's happening.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Right. I mean, I've gotten a little ways with a couple of them there where, you know, essentially what they were doing is, you know, you're setting you up to remote access or some kind of thing like that.
Right.
But that was, you know, kind of where they were going. My latest and greatest has been I just tell them that I'm a Microsoft-certified systems engineer, and this phone call is not going to work.
All right.
Now, half of them just don't even know what that means and just keep on going with the spiel.
Right, they got a script.
And the other half just say, oh, okay, and hang up.
Well, I think that, let's see, is it 344-GURU? So 520-344-GURU, that's 4878. That number... I would say that, you know, if we can get people who get those calls to say, you know what, I don't need any help because here's the fastest way.
Call me back on this number.
Well, here's the fastest way to get them to leave you alone. First of all, you can say, well, I don't need help because I have a Mac, because they will hang up immediately. you tell them, but, you know, my friend, he's always got viruses and, his phone number is 520-344-4878. And that's 344-GURU.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Is there any way, if you've got caller ID, is there any way of identifying these guys?
They Skype those calls in so that it's going to come up as all zeros, or it'll come up as some number that's not a real phone number. They're all Skype calls. So
about half of them were anonymous, you know, came in with nothing. And I thought I saw one that came from Minnesota where I grew up, and so I was taking that call, and it turned out to be one of these guys. But it's probably one of those Skype feed numbers, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, or a Google voice number.
Right.
So, that's unfortunate.
I was just surprised that it came back in such a rash of them all right together.
I've been hearing about a lot of people getting these calls lately, so.
I've had two. in the last week.
Why are you not recording them?
I'm going to the next time.
All right.
I was busy. I just wanted him off the phone.
Yes.
Well, the only thing that's happened to me was is that, you know, I went on Medicare, and I think they may think that it's time for me to get harassed as some old guy.
All right. Well, you know, now that you're officially an old guy, they're going to call
now
you
that
up.
I'm officially an old guy.
That's right.
They're like, you're never old unless you think
you get
it.
The discount at Denny's, and you get remote access support from India.
Remote access support from those guys. Yeah. Well, we've actually had one of the grandma calls, too, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Where the kid says that he's, you know, in jail, and the officer comes on and wants you to send $4,000 by wire and all that. Yeah, we had one of those, and my was out of the house. My wife called me and said, we need to go to the bank.
As
we pulled out of the driveway, I said, wait a minute, I think this is a scam.
Wow. I didn't know they were doing that one, but, you know.
Yeah, that one comes out, and it's a kind of an interesting trick, is they don't tell you who the person is.
Right.
They wait for you to ask them. You know, it'll, you know, like, you know, Grandma, can you help me? Help me. And then you'll go, Johnny?
Right.
And he'll say, yes, you know.
Wow.
And so
those
guys
are good.
It's a pretty clever scam the way they put it together. And I know a few people who actually sent the money. But
that's just cruel.
See, what they should just do is outlaw telephones for old people.
Outlaw telephones for old people.
It'll save a whole bunch of grief. Thanks for the call, Mark. I appreciate
it. Guys. Glad to hear you.
Thanks. Are we going to break, Tom? Yeah, we're going to break.
Computer troubles? Need some advice? Call in now. Mike Swanson will be back after these messages. The Computer Guru Show, AM 1030, KBOY, The Voice.
Welcome back to The Computer Guru Show. Mostly. Give us a call at 520-790-2040. See if we can find ways to pull this out.
Yeah.
Right? To recover, to right this ship. Wow. I use terms on this show that I've never used in real life.
Right this ship.
I'm going to have to lock my door.
That's what you're going to have to do.
And not let people in.
And we need a strobe light on the phone so you can see when it's ringing. And we need all that stuff. All right,
no, I count on you to tell me when it's ringing, because you can see it quicker than I can.
Yeah.
Don't we have the same screen in front of us? That's how I see it.
Yes, but my screen is over here, and I have another screen over here.
Oh, okay.
That is true.
That's true.
You have to multitask. My attention is divided at least twice.
It's a lot of micromanaging
three ways.
Over there.
Right, all right. Well,
yeah. No.
I can blame it on him and the dog. And the dog.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have to pet Chuck.
You're right.
Well, such a sweet dog.
Chuck is a, by the way, there's a studio dog, Chuck, and he's a worthwhile distraction.
He's
right?
A really good dog.
I'll cut you some slack, but if you miss a call while the dog is not
I
here.
I won't miss the call.
Then this is a problem.
You'll see the call on the first ring, and I'll see it on the third or fourth ring, but I'm not going to miss it.
All right, well, let's talk to Daniel and see what he wants. Hey, Daniel, how are you?
Good morning. Is this for Daniel?
Yeah,
yes.
Well, yeah.
Hi. Yeah,
if you're Daniel.
Yeah.
My cell phone's kind of fuzzy out here west of Old Tucson. But anyways, thanks for taking me on. And I'm new to your show. Just found out about it. I have a MacBook, a vintage 2007.
Uh-huh.
And I like it. I was just trying to transfer over. I don't know much about even my Dell PC, but, you know, they stopped supporting that. And so I got this thing, and it was okay until the power pack. Usually has the green light on when the battery's charged, and then it goes amber when it's, you know, charging.
Right.
But it just went dead, and it's not charging at all, and I'm running out of battery. And I did take it back to Simutech where I bought it a few months ago, and because it had done the same thing, and the owner came out and was refreshing himself on drivers and some kind of procedure to make it work, and he did. He said he got a download or something esoteric. I don't understand, but he got it to work okay, and it lasted a couple months, and now it's doing it again. And I went to another, like Office Max or something. They put another power pack on it, so they said it's definitely not my power pack. It's something in the jack itself that's not receiving the electricity to.
Right.
So other people have warned me, don't take it apart and try to fix it yourself, because it's so intricate, and Apple has made it so delicate that you'll destroy it. So how can I find out how to just simply be able to plug in my power?
So is this a round plug or a magnetic plug?
It's magnetic.
Okay. How long does the battery hold a charge?
Well, that's a good question. I've got about 80% left, and I'm afraid to use it at all, because it was pretty good. Just maybe 4 hours, more or less. I never really tested it. I only bought it, like, the beginning of the year, end of last year.
Okay.
And so I've got very little experience with it, and so...
So if the jack is somehow damaged, which is pretty rare on the magnetic jacks, I mean, that doesn't happen very often.
No.
I would say that, first of all, I would make sure all the contacts are clean on both the jack and the computer side, if it's a magnet mount, because sometimes those get dirty.
Okay.
And if any one of those gets to the point where it's not making connection, it's going to say, I'm not really plugged in, so it shuts the power pack off.
Can I use, like, 99% alcohol solution? Or
yeah, of course.
What?
Yeah, you can use any of that stuff.
Okay.
Just try to avoid getting in on any of the plastic or aluminum. You know, but if it's any of the steel or copper parts, yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
And that may help you out with that. Assuming that they plugged in a new power pack when you took it in, I would focus mainly on the computer side.
Right? Yeah.
So it's maybe dirty there. Because I can't think of any real reason that there would be physical damage to the computer side of it. It's probably just dirty. Now, if there is a problem, we do see this where they just stop charging.
Right.
And there's, usually that's when somebody has like a completely dead battery in there and has been charging it for, you know, a couple of years on a dead battery. And it just blows up the charging circuits on the motherboard. In which case, it's not coming back. But it doesn't sound like that. I mean, you said it holds a charge for at least a couple of hours, which is...
Yeah, or more, and it was green. And I bought it refurbished, so-called, at Simutech, and just because I had it on the shelf and it seemed like a bargain at $250, so it was closing time, and it was impulse, and I bought it.
Right.
And I assumed they had a new battery in it or something close to it. And as I say, the owner managed to somehow...
Right, you can do a firmware reset on those things, which will kind of force it to reset everything and start charging again.
How do you do that?
Well, there's a couple different ways you can do it. The simple way, the one that doesn't require a degree in Apple, is when the machine is off, to hold the power button down for about 20 seconds when you're turning it on. And you get a blinking, flashing light, and it's sort of like a soft reset. For everything. There's a harder reset, but it's way dangerous. So okay. I'm not going to tell you how to do that one.
No, I appreciate that. It's good.
But you can start with that and see if that helps. And if it does, then that's great. But if it doesn't, then you know, you're going to either have to take it back to Simutech and have a look at it, or you can bring it down to us and we can look at it.
I'm sorry. As I say, I'm new to your show. I was out of town for a while, and I'm back. So what's your name and where are you?
My name is Mike Swanson, and my company is Computer Guru.
Okay.
And we're over at First and Fort Law. You can reach us at 304-8300 if you want to call us at the shop. He's writing. So I can tell.
It is great to be back in Tucson, and I'm glad you're there.
Great. I don't know where you've been for the last 6 years, but, you know, I've been around.
San Diego, the America's finest city, quote, unquote. But, hey, you know, well, if you want to...
You stay classy. So, stay classy, San Diego. San Diego. Sorry.
It's a different country.
It's different down there.
I was taking care of an elderly woman and learned a whole lot about elder care, which is along the lines of the VA these days and people taking advantage of bureaucracy. So I'm going to write about that. But meanwhile, I need my computer to do that. So
right on. All right. You should talk to Charles Heller because you know Charles. I disagree with you, Heller, who calls the show all the time.
Charles Heller.
No, he's got a good show, and his show is – he has a few shows, but he mainly talks about things that are regarding liberty and keeping yourself free from government and bureaucracies and all of that stuff. So that's you should listen to his show. He's on tomorrow. So
I will check it out.
Right on.
One more question, if I may, briefly. My Latitude PC, Dell, I still got it, thank God, and the battery doesn't charge anymore, even though I put a new one in, but I restarted the wires on the power pack and made that thing work. And somehow I managed to disengage my Wi-Fi capability, so I can't even go to the library or McDonald's or wherever. And, with all the hieroglyphics, I was trying to simplify it somehow, and I probably deleted the ability. Is that hard to recover as far as the ability to use Wi-Fi?
Well, if it's software-based, like if you just deleted the driver or something, yeah, that's easy enough. But if you physically, you know, undid something, it's still fairly easy. It's just hard to tell you which one you did.
Yeah, and I've got a few disks here. One of them is Dell Latitude CS/CSX Resource CD : Drivers Diagnostic.
Well, that would be the one. That's the one you need. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Great.
Right on.
Great. All right. Well, man, you've been very helpful, and I appreciate it, and you have a good summer.
You do the same, and you better listen next week or else.
I will. All right. I will now. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
All right. Goodbye.
Oh, man. Okay, so other things that I wanted to bring up before we ran out of time. See, we've only got like 3 minutes left. Did you something that you wanted on there? Is there because
no, my whole week was E3, and I'm going to write about it. So look on the website after the show. I'm going to be putting up some blogs about the different things that I experienced while I was there.
All right, well, I'm going to send a series of links over to Tara to put in today's podcast. But one of them, which is a tool that you can, even though it's not advertised, it's still another way that Netflix is trying to stick it to Time Warner and mm-hmm. Comcast and saying, well, let's tell you how fast your video playback really is. And so there's a link for that. And it's a Netflix official tool, but they don't advertise it, which is pretty interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
So apparently, you know, unlike where if you have a really bad connection, mm-hmm. Netflix is now popping up a message if you're on the Comcast network. It says, Comcast is delaying your video. And there's a big court battle going on with that right now. And Netflix is pretty much saying, yeah, I don't care. Mm-hmm. We're going to go ahead and tell people that it's your fault. There's some an interesting tech fail in the world where a guy decided that he was going to text message a whole bunch of people, matches on a dating site.
Oh, yeah.
And turned it into a group chat. And then so he basically had 35 girls making fun of him.
Yeah.
Which was an interesting, you know, kind of a tech fail. But the one thing that I thought was very interesting to bring up was HP is building a new type of machine.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's called The Machine. Internally, it's in the HP's development area. Now, if you have followed anything in technology, HP development labs are, they're kind of hailed, right?
Yeah.
These guys build the new stuff, mm-hmm. right? Like stuff that's coming out in 10 years. It probably went through HP Labs.
Right.
But HP Labs has been touting this thing called the MemResistor. MemResistor.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, it is. It's but for them, their feeling is that even though they've been talking about it for 15 years,
mm-hmm.
they feel that they're pretty close to this thing and that they will be in a position where they can eliminate hard drives, right, where you can put everything in a non-volatile RAM. So it's fast, really fast, like instant fast.
I'd like that.
So fast, actually, that the biggest challenge that they're going to have is teaching operating systems how to get data without waiting for it. So
that's funny to me.
It seems like a very interesting idea. Basically, they're using they're getting rid of copper, using mm-hmm. light to move data around within the computer. They're getting everything off of slow storage.
That's and all like Star
new
Trek.
Types of processors. It's really, really fast. And that's, I think, is going to be pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. But what we're going to have to do, I think, is we're going to have Dave talk about later. But anyway, is that for the next show? Okay. So anyway, end of show here? Wrap up?
Yeah.
E3 was a lot of fun. We're going to put a whole bunch of...
Sorry for my foul-ups, and I'll try to do better next week.
I will direct you better next week.
Thank
it's my
you.
Fault.
Thank you. I need direction.
It's the director's fault.
Right. So E3 was a lot of fun, and we'll be writing about that over the next couple of weeks, putting the videos and articles. And so come down and see us at the shop at 510 East Fort Lowell. Give us a call at 304-8300. We're here to help you and treat you like a real person in the process. This has been the Computer Guru Show, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.